Welcome to Star Party, an astrology and tarot podcast that serves up both soulful evolution and bedazzled celebration. I'm astrologer and hypnotist Sandy Citron.
And I'm astrologer and tarot reader Bess Matassa. We're so glad you're here. Let's get the party started.
Hello, Star Party listeners. We are back. It's me, Sandy, and I'm here with Bess.
Woohoo!
Hey, Bess. I like your little sounds you make when we
Yeah, it's always a little woohoo. Yeah, we're just beginning, just two babes beginning again at the start of the astrological wheel.
Happy astrological new year, everyone.
Rev
that would have been
engines.
At the beginning of Aries season just about a week ago at the time of this publication.
So formal.
I know. Yeah. I just get really excited for the astrological new year because it feels like a special little thing that I know about that gives me another chance to set new year's resolutions and start over.
Yeah, because January 1 kind of, I don't know, at least for me historically, it feels pretty brutal, at least in the northern hemisphere. There's just like ice rain in my face and you know, historically, well, for many years, I took that day to do the polar bear plunge in Coney Island.
Wow.
I don't know why. Like, I don't have any interest in wintry weather or, I mean, I do love Coney Island, but yeah, I always associate it with like just being really fucking cold and then eating borscht on the boardwalk.
That sounds good to me. I like winter, so that sounds... I've never done the polar bear plunge, but I wish I had.
Maybe you should take over for me because I'm not a wintry person. So maybe you can take the mantle. I'll pass you the torch.
Maybe I will.
Yeah.
We'll see. So we're here. We're going to be talking about the topic of beginnings. We're going to crack out of our little shells as little baby birds and start fresh after ending things throughout Pisces season.
Yeah, I think we really mastered that. We just let everything slough off and a lot of grief work last podcast episode. Yeah. So now we're ready to be just born, just like the little Peeps family. Peeps are not a sponsor of this podcast, by the way. I'm just mentioning Peeps.
No.
Maybe they're an unofficial sponsor. But
it's funny because while prepping for this episode, I had originally thought, oh, this is going to be all like, you know, confetti and glitter and New Year's and new beginnings and all the optimistic stuff. But actually, I think it's more of a mix.
Yeah, I think there's a reason. Sometimes we see Aries energy and, you know, we're taking Aries season as the subtle informant of this conversation today, or maybe not so subtle. I don't know if Aries is ever subtle energy. But I think sometimes we have this idea that Aries is like this ebullient, exuberant, like, just all full up. But we have to remember that to like come out of the primordial ooze of Pisces, like we need an incredible amount of energetic like reserve and resources. Mm. And like this is where kind of the idea of courage, I think, comes with Aries energy. Like you've got to like get all the bits of you on board to like peel yourself out of the ooze to individuate and go on, get on with it, you know? So I think it's present some challenges.
Mighty strength is required.
Yeah.
Just to arrive, just to start.
Just to show up upright in a body. Mighty strength is required. So if you're upright listening to this podcast, or even if you're prostrate? Is that the word?
It's not prostate.
Even if you're prostrate. Even if you're reclined, you have made it. You have arrived here. Yeah.
Yes. Maybe even especially. Sometimes I feel like it takes great strength to just rest, lie down, take a break, you know?
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Anyway, what's been percolating as you've been perusing this? Wanted to think of another P word.
Yeah. Yeah. I should be there waiting in the wings with like another alliteration or consonants or assonance or whatever that is. You know, it's interesting. I think like you were alluding to a moment ago, Sandy, you know, I think we might sometimes have some expectations about how we feel about beginnings. Mm-hmm. You know, this sense of like kind of charging the whole system up or ignition or this bravery or this sort of emboldened puncturing of the unknown or whatever it is. And, you know, I think as someone who is sort of hardwired as, I shouldn't say hardwired, but has the context of having a stellium of Aries personal planets in their chart, you know, I think sometimes I've had the experience historically of just feeling like a beginning is like something that like comes out of nothing or like turns in a different direction, or that I just sort of rise up and pop out and like go for it, like that it's this sort of burst of energy. Mm-hmm. And I think as I've gotten older, and especially recently, and maybe this is also within the context of, you know, the unfolding of COVID and all of that, I think I'm realizing more and more that beginnings are much more closely tied to the conditions that like birth us than I once realized. That sometimes I think we have this perception that there's like discontinuity almost, like where we just sort of pop out. Mm. And I've actually been feeling more and more into the continuity of beginnings, into like the source, into sort of tracing how things get generated. And that's not to say that there aren't moments in life that are like wild 180s or moments where we really do make a sharp turn and it feels like there's a great sense of newness. But in some ways, there really isn't ever. I mean, even if we look at Aries energy, it comes out of Pisces. It comes out of the entire culmination of all of these energies of the zodiac. And so I think just holding a space for that sense of like the before, the just before, and the kind of source or the origin point of something. Not to say that we then can't kind of break out from that or that we have to carry the mantle of that with us, but I think there is something around this topic about acknowledging some of the origin points and kind of how we sort of make that move to sort of peel, you know, either with the support or contra, you know, some of that origin point if we're kind of seeking to go in a new direction. So that's sort of where I landed, that it wasn't necessarily as like something out of nothing as I thought.
Yeah. I was in a similar zone. I was reading an article that I'll link to in the show notes on Psychology Today, and it's written by Susan Kraus Whitmore with contributions from an author named J.M. Van Dyke. But J.M. Van Dyke was pinpointing four different ways that beginnings are beginning. So, and I thought it was really interesting, and maybe it kind of takes what you're saying and adds like examples around it, and maybe not, you can let me know. But the first one is like the beginning that's like, I can't wait, like where there's just this kind of like pumped up, kind of what I thought of as beginning before we started recording this, you know, where it's just like, yeah, there's this new thing. I've got this new opportunity. I just bought myself like a new computer. I got this new thing. Now I can do all these things. You know, I got a new job. And it's this really exhilarating kind of new beginning where you're just like, it feels very self-generated. And it feels as if that kind of Aries energy of like, yeah, it's all about me and it's about my mark on the world and how I'm pushing forward. It's kind of this like exciting, optimistic possibility, you know, usually has to do with some kind of goals or some kind of new thing on the horizon that you can feel yourself pushing toward. So that's like the first kind, but then there's three others. And the second one would be like, she calls it the I know I have to beginning, where there's like a next phase of life or something that's approaching, you know, or something that someone else tells you that you need to do it. And this is like, you know, you're kind of, you have to stretch yourself. You have to kind of like, you know, it might be like you go to the doctor and the doctor's like, oh, you have to lose some weight or something like that. It's kind of a bad example, but you know, like somebody's telling you something, there's some kind of outer limitation and you have to kind of push and you need to like be courageous and determined in this thing. And then there's the third type, which is like the please don't make me do this beginning, where something is happening outside of yourself and it really feels as if it's an external thing. You know, there's like some kind of person is or event is happening and you don't feel as if you have control, but you have to change direction and begin in a new way with that one. And that can be really unmooring. You know, that can be the type of thing where you feel powerless And you can feel like a victim in that scenario because you don't have the control or the choice with that type of beginning. And then the fourth one she pinpoints is the where do I start beginning, which is when there's some kind of disaster or something that the world is facing or some kind of death or something really big where, you know, everything's changing and there's all kinds of feelings coming up and you may have like no idea where to begin, you know? So with the pandemic, we've experienced that. Yeah, go ahead.
No, I was going to say like beyond the first one, they all sound like utter
shit. They all sound dreary. Yeah. I know. Is this just a really negative take?
Yeah. I mean, it's interesting because I was thinking about like four types of beginnings in terms of the four cardinal signs, you know, and I was thinking of them really, and this isn't my snack, but, you know, sort of giving us four models of what it means to sort of turn it on and turn it over. And they're very different, you know, and we can even look to the seasons and, you know, obviously if you're in Northern or Southern hemisphere, you might experience these differently, but we can look to the four cardinal signs as the initiation of a season to just say like, even on an embodied sort of felt, you know, visceral sense, like what do each of those starts feel like, you know, and no matter what hemisphere you're in, you know, thinking about the beginning of spring or the beginning of summer, fall, winter, like what qualities did those kinds of turning on or sort of starting into a new phase feel like, you know, and just to remember that I think that there's all of these different textures possible for that to, there's no like wrong feeling at like the crest of something. And not everything might be that kind of self-generated, like you're talking about that first type, which I would associate maybe with spring or with Aries, you know, that kind of like, you know, shooting out of the gate, kind of shooting little baby buds. But yeah.
Yeah. For a second, I was like, oh, I wonder if we can associate all of those four with the season. And I was like, no, let's not do that. Yeah.
Then we'll have like spring be like, okay. And then the other three be like,
yeah, be like winter.
Yeah, I know I have to. Away. Please don't make me do this. Where do I start? Although I guess we could say like there's something about, I don't know, I'm just extrapolating here, but like the where do I start, the nebulousness of that, like that maybe that could be connected to like a water energy.
Yeah.
Of like, you know, and it doesn't necessarily feel like explicitly Cancer to me, but sort of like finding that emotional origin point, finding that emotional mooring within that. And then like the please don't make me do this, like coming away from the outside. It's almost like a landslide maybe of earth energy. I don't know.
That's what I would say too. Capricorn.
Yeah.
Capricorn earth. It's, you know, Capricorn is ruled by Saturn, which is all about the outer limitations and something else happening. And you're like, wait, do I have a choice in this?
Yeah. But then you rise up to find like the little bit of land that's yours. It's your domain, you know? And then, I know I have to, I guess, you know, maybe there's something. There's something about when you were talking about the person telling you or the situation kind of like, you know, I don't know. There's a certain responsiveness.
Balance.
Yeah. There's
a
certain responsiveness.
That makes sense. Look at us.
Look at us.
We can make anything work.
Yeah. But yeah, I think the take home is like, there are all these different flavors of kind of beginning and just tapping in as a listener to where you might find yourself. And maybe it's fun to play with it elementally, or it's fun to play with it even like, what season, you know, maybe are you on the crest of, I mean, in the Northern Hemisphere at the time of recording, we're on the crest of spring, but it might not be that kind of feeling of beginning right now for you. It might be a more wintry mix, you know, it might be a fall feeling, whatever it is.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Something to investigate, like where, if you're feeling pushed for something new, like where is that coming from? Do you feel like it's coming from within? Is it coming from outside of you? And who do you want to be in that moment? You know? Not to apply too much, like sometimes it's like, who do you want to be? It's like, I'll be this person. It's like, well, we don't always get to do that.
Yeah.
I don't know if I'm making sense.
Yeah. Well, and I think too, it's like, you know, we talked a little bit about this on the endings episode, this idea that like, you know, and depending on how we're wired, we may have, you know, different varying like difficulties with this idea, but they sometimes, as humans, we perceive that we're stagnant when we can't see the way in which things beyond our sight are maybe, you know, kind of conspiring to assist or percolating or changing. And I think taking a lesson out of that, like sort of Pisces season box too, of, you know, noticing too, when there's a lot of pressure of like, I wish I was getting this off the ground, or why can't I move in this new direction, or whatever the thing is, to know that there's like, there's many scales of beginning too. And there's many ways in which it's not just about your willpower, like pulling something out or pulling it up or like building the entire car mm-hmm. and putting it on the road, that there's many ways in which different parts of your life and forces, like unseen forces in your life, are also like always beginning at yeah. the same time, like doing this little like night work on you kind of, you know. Yes. So know that you can find, you know, perhaps some peace in that too, if you're feeling like you're super pressurized right now to start something.
Yeah. Ooh, so good, Beth. Therapy with Beth.
Like therapy with Beth and Sandy. Oh,
yeah. So what were you thinking about for food items? Snack
so
time?
I've got like a triple layered cake here. And it's not going to be a huge discussion, don't worry, but it is something that ended up being kind of nested. So there's three layers to the snack, 3 points yes. kind of inquiry. And I'll just sort of sketch them out, and then I'll get into, well, no, I'll just take them one by one. We'll do it just like, you know, we don't need to like, I was noticing in my own wiring, and I think it's, you know, it's interesting to just notice even on an innocuous, fairly like innocuous level, how you start things. And I'm a person who has a lot of anxiety at the start of something. And my response to that anxiety is to do as much as possible up front, is to like splat out of the gate. It's like if I have a blank page and I'm supposed to write something or make something or whatever, it's like almost like a compulsion to dump as much as possible, as quickly as possible, to sort of like prove that it's like, I'm going to be able to do it somehow, you know, rather than somebody who might kind of drip something out and then drip another thing out. And then, so yeah. So I'm going to like practice sort of cultivating the other behavior and not dump all my layers of my cake on the table. So the first layer of my cake is the sun. And it's interesting because I think I brought forward the sun, I think it was on the rest episode that we did. And a lot of that discussion was about the idea of restoration, or the idea of like returning to source. And I feel like that a different kind of flavor of that came forward for me again with this topic of beginning. And I think what you mentioned, Sandy, too, this idea of rest and restoration sort of begetting the natural beginning. You know, if you're reclining while you're listening to this, you're in exactly the right place. But this sense of like this, our sun sign being a kind of regenerative source. And, you know, we're not always, depending on the rest of our chart, we're not always overly identified with our sun sign. Our sun sign is a dynamic mission that we're growing toward. But there is this sense of like the consistency of the sun. It's like, there it is again. Oh, it was behind a cloud. There it is again. Like we can think about its rulership of Leo and that kind of constancy of the fixed energy of Leo that just sort of is as it is over time. And so I think there's something about just like fundamentally kind of tapping your sun sign for a moment in this conversation and thinking about what you like, how that your relationship to your sun sign might give you some clues about your relationship to what's eternal or what's kind of like perceived to be kind of self-renewing in you, something that you might kind of be able to tap and like reignite or re-up, you know, at different moments. It's not about sort of like transforming or, I mean, of course the sun's about like transformation and going on this journey to meet your mission, but there also is this quality of this kind of constancy. And is there something in your sun sign's energy or characteristics or currents of expression that you can just sort of like, you know, go, it's almost like, I'm thinking of like beer on tap or, you know, whatever, like a soda machine, you know, anything that's like on tap where you can just be like, could I just go at the start of this thing and just like, what would it mean to like open the tap and like fill my cup with like a little bit of that? And to know that there's, in many ways, your sun is like, it's not going to run out. Not that any of the other planets run out either, but like, you know, that you can use that sort of as this kind of like begin again and again and again. It's sort of this eternal light that's kept on in your chart. And so then the second step of that, you know, once you've kind of tapped your little whatever, you know, wine on tap or iced tea on tap of your sun, then I think the second stage of it for me, and these can be also nonlinear, you don't have to go in order, but the second stage is to look at the relationship between your sun sign and the outer planets. because for me, this represents kind of the juicy frictional challenge of beginning. And so when I see the outer planets, what I'm referring to, and we could expand it to include Saturn and Jupiter, but for the purposes of this conversation, looking at Uranus, Neptune, and Pluto, and seeing if any of these are in close aspect to your sun, just what the conversation is between those. And, you know, if you're working kind of newer to astrology, you can just sort of look at what the sign relationship is, you know, between those. So, you know, if you have, you know, Pluto in Libra and sun in Scorpio, what have you, and just sort of looking at like what those energies look like. And you'll get a sense probably if there's like a closer allyship between one of those planets, outer planets in your sun, than another. You know, maybe it's by degree or it's by sign relationship. You know, which of those planets, outer planets, is really like presenting? Because I think the outer planets can really, I mean, they're big change makers. They're big, you know, not always necessarily something I would associate with like beginning, like specifically, but there is a sense that we're at, when we're at a pivot point or when we're at a transformation, which often begets a beginning, we've got to reckon with these forces, you know, to, you know, even you, you know, kind of explaining these four types and having three of these types feel like they're kind of externally, you know, brought, you know, not that beginnings are always, of course, there's plenty of room for the self-generation, but I think there can be this feeling sometimes where we've got to like come out of something or come up against something or like surmount or kind of like, whew, like rise to kind of meet something or to meet it and then kind of surpass it. And so looking at these three flavors, and maybe it's like, if you have sun in close relationship to Uranus, or there's some conversation going on there, it's like a beginning could feel like it's got to feel like a wild clearing and like this space after like an electrical storm. And like, you know, you may be a person who really thrives when there aren't really traces of the old way around. Like, could you just sort of like eradicate the trace and feel, you know, like you're coming out of nothing in that way, you know, versus something like sun in relationship to Neptune, where, you know, maybe there's something to be learned through, through feeling like that kind of like, where do I start energy, sort of being in the haze and the ooze, like, is this the beginning? Is this the end? Who am I? You know, this kind of like just slowly kind of emerging, almost like the way a figure would come through the fog and make its contours, like, you know, known over space. You know, and then thirdly, Pluto, maybe the beginning's got to feel like, everything, you know, like the will is stripped and then the will is rebuilt, that there's like this massive transformation that happens. You know, I know for myself, I have sun in strong relationship with Pluto, and that's historically, that's how it's been for me. You know, beginnings aren't like little like bumps in the night or little whispers, like they're fucking massive, you know? And so just kind of tapping this as the second layer of inquiry, and knowing also that, you know, if that feels confronting in some way, that you can kind of peel back and go back to that sun's kind of original energy, so to sort of refuel and reseed yourself. And then the third layer of the cake that I would offer, you know, because the outer planets can feel quite, you know, sometimes confronting, like we need a little ally. And so the third thing I would offer is to look at the sign that's semi-sextile to yours. We don't even need to use that word. The sign that precedes your sun sign in the wheel of the year. So if you're a Libra, you know, that would be Virgo. If you're a, you know, Gemini, that would be Taurus, and so on and so forth. The sign that just precedes yours. And I think there's an offering here. And I think we talked a little bit about this in the inconjunct and the episode where we talked about inconjuncts, is sort of like joining arms with the sign that's inconjunct to yours to like walk across the dance floor or something. And I think there's something about joining forces at the start of something with the sign that just precedes yours, because each of these signs like gives way to the next sign on the wheel of the year. And so there's something about kind of turning back the dial just a little bit and leaning on that that figure or that archetype that precedes you. And in terms of like who can help you to sort of like appear, it's like you got to sort of dial back and remember what Virgo energy is, to remember why it leads to Libra and how you can kind of start in that energy. And so, you know, if this feels a bit abstract, to give an example, it's like, you know, I guess I'll just use the example of Virgo and Libra, you know, thinking about Libra coming out of this deep integral knowing of the capacities of the self, the limits of the self, the intricacy, you know, of this kind of inner code, and then being able to step out and assess in the outer world, like what's in alignment, how I can sort of equilibrate along these axes and all of this, and dialing it back if need be, right at the beginning of something to say like, oh, can I check in before I sort of like jump the gun and I'm all the way over here in time space? And can I make sure that I'm resourced in a way that remembers that Virgoan part of me, that sort of like intricate inner code, or that like marriage to self on an inner level, like checking in again with like the specificity of who I am and my capacities. And so, yeah, I think this sort of three-tiered approach can be interesting. You can totally mix it up. You know, if you're in a moment where you're starting and you're just like, damn, I feel like I'm totally tapped out. I need to replenish, you know, just going to your sun sign energy and being like, what do you got for me? You know? And then if you're feeling like I need to make sense of like the bigger why, the bigger evolutionary unfolding of this beginning in my life, maybe you tap the relationship between the sun and the outer planets. And then if you're just like, I need a little assist. I need like to kind of, you know, like figure out how to emerge, or how to sort of like facilitate this kind of like the lubrication of the beginning. You know, maybe you're looking at the sign that's just preceding yours and looking for the little treasures and the little gifts therein that it might offer you as you kind of start out on this road. It's like going back to the Virgo house if you're a Libra, and like making sure Virgo is like packed your pack with stuff before you like can set out, because, you know, each of the signs that follows, it does carry that little pack of stuff on its back, you know? And so it's like, how can we remember that in some ways that sign birthed us in some ways, you know? Mm.
Wow. So. This is awesome, Bess. I feel like I could do this every day. Yeah. Kind of go through and use those resources to understand how to shift and start fresh. And it was funny listening and like just thinking about our collaboration with like the Aries and the Libra, but we both have strong Pluto connections from our sun. My sun is conjunct Pluto and your sun is opposite Pluto. Mm-hmm. And I think it's funny thinking about, you know, anytime we want to do something new with the podcast, like, you know, come up with like a new graphic design or something like that. For me, it can feel like, well, you're trying to change everything and we've got to start totally over. And now it's going to be this big push, you know, and then I don't know how it feels for you, but it, you know, I think there's a similar kind of like all or nothing kind of thing. Mm-hmm. You've got to do it all or else it can be nothing, you know, like,
right.
And it's wild, even on little things, like little projects, to see those connections.
Yeah, totally. You know, and I think there's some, you know, just information too that creates potentially more ease around that, because it's not like, oh, okay, if you're a Sun Pluto person, you're just like marked for life and like you're fucked. And every beginning has to feel like you burnt yourself to a crisp and then you've got to like rise from the ashes. You know, but just sort of an awareness too. And I think that's where, for me, I can find a lot of healing with like my semi sextile, because it's like the Plutonian parts of me that are just like, oh God, seriously? Like I can't like rebuild every bone in my body again from the ground up. Like, oh, is there something to be borrowed in your little Pisces pack, you know, from that kind of energy of like, ooh, maybe you just sort of like disappear for a minute. And, you know, I've been going through a big transformation lately and not always been able to find this sort of seeds of beginning. It's been a very Neptunian feeling, and like, actually finding some comfort in that, or some balm in that, by like saying, oh, I just got to like disappear, like back away a little bit to then reappear somehow. Yeah. It's like that kind of like, I'm just sort of, you know, like, and maybe that takes the form of not being in contact as much with people, or like testifying to the, you know, I think historically I've been like, always, you know, testifying to my endings and my beginnings, and like very, you mm-hmm. know, flying my Plutonian flag, you know, atop the whatever, burning cinders, or, you know, so yeah, it can
I like the idea of testifying to your endings and your beginnings. Yeah. I feel like I do that too.
Yeah.
Looking to the outer planet for the kind of, I guess maybe the confidence it's given you, or the gifts it's given you over the years, you know, with the Neptune, it might be like a faith that like there's always, you know, some interconnectedness or some kind of spiritual push with, I mean, I guess maybe with all three, it's some kind of faith or some kind of like trust, you know. With Pluto, it would be like, I feel like with a strong Pluto to the sun, there can be a sense of like, you can't end me.
Yeah.
Like I'm always going to come back.
Oh my God. Speaking to my core, I'm going to go cry in a corner right now. Yeah. Yeah. And it's funny too. Like we've all got, you know, it's not to say that, you're like stuck with this one relationship too. And it's funny how we kind of over rely on things. Cause now I can't even really remember, but I'm pretty sure that my son is also trine Neptune, like almost exact by degree. It must be because it's conjunct Venus and, you know, that's trine Neptune anyway, but it's all to say like, noticing some of your kind of proclivities and also noticing where there might be an opening of another to call on one of those other planets.
Right. The Uranus, just to finish out the three, I guess the Uranus would be a kind of like faith that like, a new perspective will show itself or a new
the road.
Innovation.
Yeah. The road will come out of somewhere.
Road,
like
fork in the road.
Yeah. Or like you got to just step off that fool energy and be like, woo, like that vertigo that comes from the kind of moment of perceived free fall to then beget something.
Yeah. And that you don't have to go with the grain of what the others want you to do or what was prescribed.
The others.
So Libra.
No, I like the others. The others sounds like a horror movie. I think there might even be like a horror movie called The Others. But that's only a horror to an Aries stellium is The Others.
There you go.
Oh my God. What do you got,
everyone,
Sandy?
Gets our inside jokes.
Oh, like, they do.
Yeah. They're not really inside, but they're inside astrology.
Inside astrology. Yeah. If you want to get more jokes, just keep listening.
Keep learning.
One day you'll have a laugh too, hopefully.
Yeah. So I started with my snack thinking about these four beginning types that I described earlier and thinking about how each one of these beginnings requires like a lot of personal resources. So you need to have like self-esteem, you need to have confidence, you need to have resilience and strength for all of these beginnings, even like the one that's exciting, the one that's like, yeah, I'm doing my new thing. It's like, there has to be some kind of inner confidence. And these resources, you know, maybe some of us are born with them. I don't really know. I think it's always a mix of nature and nurture. But a lot of them we gain through experience. You know, we gain that confidence from knowing, trying things and seeing the results. And maybe it's not always about successful results, but it's about even just, you know, failing sometimes and seeing, oh, I didn't die. I failed, but I didn't die. You know, so I thought, well, who's in charge of these resources that are gained through experience? And then I thought of Saturn. And so it's kind of a nice, even partner to what you've shown here, Bess, because like Saturn isn't the full picture with beginnings, I don't think. I don't think it's like everything, although Saturn is in charge of the timeline to some degree or the sense of like, well, now it's time for the next phase of your life. And we're going to take these things away and we're going to show you where you're limited and we're going to show you what you need to learn. And it's up to you to kind of step up to the plate. There's kind of a teacher side to Saturn. And this teacher is the teacher who's more, you know, has high standards, I'll say. Saturn wants you to show up and wants you to do something differently or to try to do something that's really aligned with your true inner nature to try to make things work. And so when you do those things, you can gain confidence, you can gain self-esteem. And this can happen like really small ways and really big ways. You know, my friend was talking about this method of parenting called Rye, where it's like letting your kid, you know, I don't really know that much about it because I haven't read about it yet, but she was just telling me about it and how like we gain confidence as infants just from like waving our hands in front of our face. you know, and like doing like normal little things that are like, oh, look what I did. So confidence doesn't have to come from, you know, the big, oh, I got an A on the test, or I worked so hard. It's coming from everything that we're doing and testing and trying in the world. So with that first, you know, beginning, the kind of I can't wait beginning, where there's like a new opportunity and you're excited and exhilarated and anything's possible. To me, to engage in that, there has to be some kind of confidence. You can get excited about something new. And so you can look at Saturn in your chart to see, you know, where have you, you know, what's been your style? And I don't know, I didn't really prep for this that much, but maybe we could look at it with the elements for a second and just see, you know, if it's a, if your Saturn's in a fire sign, maybe you've kind of thrown yourself at things and had to learn how to trust that you'll still maintain life and you'll still live, and that like you have the power within you and that you can always kind of rise up again. If your Saturn's in an earth sign, maybe it's about using the resources in a wise way that have given you confidence. So like in those moments of new beginnings, looking around and saying, oh, okay, let's assess, let's see what's real, let's see what we have, let's use our past experiences of life on earth to see what we can do to boost us up. If your Saturn's in a air sign, it might be about learning and communicating and working on your relationships with others. You know, with the relationships, it's kind of like finding yourself in that relationship and also finding out what other people need that can help give you the confidence or the resilience. And then with Saturn in a water sign, I would say in these moments of new beginnings, it's about really delving into the emotional side of things to see like what needs to percolate and come up to the surface, what emotions are really there to give me the strength. I think it's interesting to see what's put, you know, where you're being pushed in these times of new beginnings and what resources and strengths you have, and to use your past experience.
I'm thinking a lot about the gravity of Saturn, and maybe it's just sort of the way that I experience, you know, or my perception of Saturn and sometimes Capricorn energy, but the weight, you know, the weightiness of it. And it almost feels like tapping the Saturn sign as an origin point is really interesting, because it's sort of like what we have to kind of peel ourselves up and out from. Not to say that we're discarding the Saturn sign, but like, it's like this feeling, at least for me, and maybe I feel it very acutely in beginnings because of, you know, where it's placed in my chart or whatever. But, you know, I'm thinking again about our conversation around endings last month, where you were bringing forward the 12th house and the ascendant. And it feels like very much about beginnings too, because we sort of like end out of the 12th house and then we're sort of climbing out of the ooze, and my Saturn's in the 12th house. And it feels like I'm always kind of like, there's a lot of weightiness at the beginning of the beginning, you know, because it's like, like feeling like I'm like peeling myself out of like the weight of the world, and then like having to kind of recreate or like re-come up. And that's, you know, it's Pluto tinged as well too. But thinking about your, you know, Saturn sign by element or even by house place, or even in relationship to your sun, and what it looks to sort of like come out from Saturn, basically like be birthed through Saturn to get, you know, because I think that they're at the start of a beginning, you know, and we alluded to this at the start of the episode, but like this sense of, you know, sometimes there can be this feeling like of a lot of pressure and a lot of like layering, like just like with an ending where we talked a lot about those layers of grief, that a beginning can bring up that sensation too, like that, oh God, like I'm starting again and maybe I don't feel like I have that much time, or maybe this, I'm not going to have another shot, or how many more shots am I going to get? And like, that's a total Saturn realm of like the limits of ourselves in this world. And so I think acknowledging Saturn at the start of a cycle is really like powerful in terms of like giving ourselves that reminder, both of like what you're saying, this confidence that we can find in our competence in that moment, and like acknowledging, like, you know, some pretty texturized feelings sometimes around like whether we can start over, you know?
Right. You're reminding me that beginnings are so fragile and vulnerable.
Yeah.
You know, these little sprouts and like how many of the little sprouts don't take root and find, you know, the height that they need. And that's fine, right? Like part of the process with beginnings is weeding and, you know, removing and making space. So it's not like everything we try needs to grow, but it's a really fragile process where things are not settled. And it's really reliant on what you're bringing to the table and what you have.
Yeah.
So, yeah. I was also quickly just, I wanted to throw out there for more intermediate students, like looking at, you know, if you're in a beginning phase in your life and it's something current, looking at your progressed moon by sign and house placement can be very interesting to kind of show you like what you're in the mood for now and like what style you would want to bring to beginnings at this moment. You know, if your progressed moon is in Sagittarius, maybe there's kind of a really bouncy feeling of like, I can start again and I want to explore and I want to know my values and I want to know my philosophies around this. And like, you know, your progressed moon's in the fourth house. It might be a great time to move or it might be a great time to like focus on your home space. You know, it could get really practical. Like, you know, maybe it's time to get that like home space or those family relationships feeling really supportive. And then that could be a good starting place to pull from. So just something also to look at. You're working with something in the moment.
Yeah. Yeah. It's reminding me because my progressed moon's in Capricorn. Feels like it's been there for fucking ever.
But It hasn't.
Yeah. And it feels like that style of initiation. Yeah. I think I've been feeling quite Saturnine, you know, in terms of the style of sort of initiating and the weightiness of that, like the significance, not just like my usual Aries energy, which is popping out, sprouts all over the place, and whoever survives, fine. And whoever doesn't, you know, so like really like, okay, what's going to endure here? What's going to have the capacity to endure like beyond just this little sprout? So if we're ready for a little tarot offering,
yeah,
and bring something forward. I had a lot of different notions about this, but I think I'm going to kind of keep it simple and strong and bring one card forward for us. And that card is the Chariot. And in many ways, if we look at, you know, if we look at like the unfolding of the major arcana, these 22 cards, the Chariot, you know, and this is a teaching that descended from Rachel Pollack, maybe others as well, but looking at kind of three groupings of the three lines of the major arcana. And we did this kind of breakout on the tarot episodes where we detailed each of these cards. So you can return to that if that feels compelling. But the Chariot is the card that ends the first line of the major arcana. And in many ways, it's like the biggest move we kind of have to make because we have to like get the hell up and on, you know, get on with it and somehow get from there to the second line, you know, which can feel pretty massive sometimes. So I feel like sometimes the Chariot can come through when there's a certain invitation to movement. And it's not solely self-generated, as none of the major arcana cards, I don't think, are. They're sort of climates or contexts, and then we just sort of lean into them. But there's something about the Chariot energy, and you know, a lot of traditional interpreters of this card will have stuff like, oh, triumph, or you're going to win it, or you're going to get it, or all this kind of stuff. And I'm not, you know, here to say that that's not true, or that this can't be like, you know, this a card that can be used as sort of an initiator toward a success or something like that. But in my experience, this card is more connected to the energy of sort of climbing up and out of something to sort of enter into something else. And its ruler is Cancer, which I think in traditional interpretations of this card, you know, get a little confusing sometimes because people are like, well, what is, you know, like, I would think that that kind of energy would be like Aries or some fire or something, you know, triumph or, you know, sort of reaching the top of the mountain, Capricorn, something like that. And really, I feel like this card can be harnessed as a sort of support for a partnering with kind of the natural momentum of an unfolding for you. It's kind of the hermit crab card. It's like when the hermit crab sort of outgrows the shell, or when we outgrow anything in our lives, and it's not a problem, but it's just like we start to notice like, oh, I'm a little bit bigger than this is, you know? So I'm going to just like have to sort of bust my arm out of the sleeve or get something that's like a little better fitting for me. And so I think there's something in terms of like leaning into the support of this card in the remembrance that during beginnings, it's this confluence of factors. It's not just about us initiating, and it's not just about the world doing unto us and forcing us to start over. It's like this partnering where it's like we've naturally just sort of expanded a little bit, and then like a button pops off, another button pops off, you know, and suddenly we're sort of like, oh, wow, like I can't actually go outside in this outfit anymore because I'll be like half naked because my shirt's, you know, completely open now or whatever the thing is. And so just using that in whatever way feels supportive to remember, you know, whether it's when you pulled this card, whether it's, you know, putting that on your altar or some space where you see it as a remembrance that you were kind of naturally growing and kind of outgrowing, not in a negative sense, but just sort of like it's the process of all of life, like expanding toward more life. And that beginnings can feel, you can also let yourself feel like, oh, what would just be kind of like the natural move for like my arm to fit better into this situation over here? Or how can I just sort of like the moving toward aspect of beginning, that it doesn't need to all be this like, I've got this plan and then I'm going to go. And then, it's just sort of like move toward the same way that you would, your body would just sort of expand and kind of start to slough off. And, you know, I think also like just sort of remembering that there's, I don't know, when I work with this card, I've had, and it's not like a self-recrimination or a, like, you know, a warning or something like that, but like it often comes through for me personally, you know, I've seen it in readings like this too, but the sense of like we're already kind of leaving, you know, there's already a sort of departure. And I think it speaks to the marriage between endings and beginnings too. And that there can be a feeling of, not that we need to not grieve or not turn around or not like look out the back of the car, but there's also this element of beginning that's about like naturally letting ourselves get pulled by something else, you know, versus like pushing ourselves out of the ending, whatever it is, which really I think speaks to Cancer energy and a water kind of initiation of like, let yourself be pulled in the direction rather than feeling like you have to push to generate this thing all of your own. So just a little offering for, you know, a card that might be an ally, I think, in this process.
I love that. I want like a book with all of your writings about all the tarot cards.
Well, Sandy, I would love that too. It's it's in the works. The unseen Good. Forces are perhaps working on that project Good. As we speak.
Excellent news. Let's get that going. Yep. Beginnings. exciting. So for my hypnosis snack, I was playing off the idea of like the confidence and the self-esteem and the resilience. And so we'll do a little work around that. So you can go ahead and close your eyes if you're not driving anywhere right now. If you're driving, keep those eyes open and take a nice deep breath and just begin to scan your body down from head down to toes. And as you move your attention from the head down to the toes, you can just imagine all the muscles relaxing. You can take your time with this. Feel the relaxation flow, letting your breath help you with that relaxation process. On the exhale, really letting go even more. The inhale, you can feel any energy you've spent throughout the day returning to you, leaving you in a nice, calm, confident, relaxed place. And running through that body scan again from the head all the way down through the toes. Maybe beginning to invite in a little heaviness in your arms and legs. Scanning for any spots of tension and letting those dissolve, flow out through the bottoms of your feet. And just this relaxation alone is nice to do throughout the day. If you'd like to take it a little bit further now, you can imagine yourself in a quiet, dimly lit room, and a bright spotlight appears in front of you. A nice circle of light, bright. And you can step into that spotlight. And as you step in, you can begin to hear the sound of applause, cheers, as you remember different moments in your life where you tried something and you succeeded or had a really wonderful outcome. Remembering moments where you were so proud of yourself, one by one, letting those memories come in and fill this lit up space, maybe the sound in this space matches those memories. Feeling in your body, inviting in any feelings of pride, happiness, exhilaration, energy, letting those feelings arrive if they're available. Adding in other memories, maybe big ones or small ones. Moments from school or from work, interactions with people. And now you can go ahead and step out of the spotlight. And those memories are remaining inside that spotlight. And they're there for you. And you can go ahead and step back in, noticing how charged this wonderful lit up space is with all of these positive memories. And bring to mind something that you're excited about now, some change that's happening, some new beginning in your life. Might be small, might be large. And standing here in the spotlight, you're so charged up with possibility around this new beginning. And you can watch yourself go through the motions in the best way possible for yourself, seeing things working out, hearing that applause or the cheers, maybe wind chimes, letting those upbeat feelings infuse the situation as you see your future self playing through this new beginning with positive outcomes. Noticing how your future self smiles with satisfaction and confidence, ease, and a sense of empowerment. Whenever you want to, you can come back to this spotlight. It's always here for you. Charge up a new beginning with potential ease, resilience, and strength and confidence. And for now, you can let the scene fade. Count yourself up from 1 to 3, the count of three, opening your eyes and being right here and now. All right.
Ew. Man, ready to go. Ready to go. You know, when I was journeying through the hypnosis, I was thinking a lot about the concept of initiation. And this is maybe just a footnote to this, but it's interesting, the word initiation, that we're like initiated, and like initiation is also the ignition, is the beginning. Whoa. Yeah, man. Yeah. Trippy. Yeah. So yeah, we'll just leave the listeners with that. You
little
can use on that
ceremony.
Yeah. Commencement ceremony, initiations, ignition, recharging the spirit, resourcing, launching, the fragility and the force of all of it. Thank you for being with us at the start of the astrological new year. And we can't wait to initiate this new cycle with you and see what's to come.